Welcome to the Chrisman Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Chrisman. Topics on today's episode include shifting mortgage products and Fed rhetoric, my interview with originator Josh Metal on the massive changes that are coming in July with the buyer agent commission issue, and the U.S. economy added how many jobs in April? Thanks to today's podcast sponsor, Essex Mortgage. Essex specializes in providing exceptional mortgage subservicing solutions tailored to meet your specific needs. Looking to capitalize on your excess servicing strip? Check out Essex's servicing offerings today. Mortgage products are always shifting and changing. How's your adjustable rate offering and training for LOs? The ARM share of applications last week reached nearly 8%, the highest level in 2024. Why are ARMs becoming more popular? Well, higher rates means that more buyers are interested in a product like this. And speaking of rates, if the most recent Fed statement and remarks from Fed Chair Powell weren't enough for investors to digest, yesterday the market had a full slate of economic releases to analyze, most of which reinforced the message that the economy continues to roll along. As a quick reminder, the surprise on Wednesday came from the dovish tone that Fed Chair Powell displayed in reassuring markets that despite stickier than expected inflation, the FOMC is unlikely to hike rates further from the current levels. Yesterday, we learned that weekly jobless claims were unchanged at 208,000, and continuing jobless claims were also unchanged at 1.774 million. Employers, in general, are reluctant to cut jobs, a sign of optimism about demand despite a weakening labor market. Keep in mind the job openings fell from 8.8 million in February to 8.4 million in March. There was a smaller than expected increase in Q1 productivity, 0.3% versus 0.8% expectations. The report also included an upwardly revised 3.5% in the fourth quarter. Unit labor costs surged 4.7% in the first quarter, a big gain from the 1.8% increase seen over the past year, following a downwardly revised 0% reading in the fourth quarter. Obviously, the productivity and labor cost numbers aren't going to move the needle much on rate cut hopes, and in some ways are worrisome, since low productivity and inflation are usually associated with each other. Unit labor costs, especially, are still too far from an inflation-friendly reading for the Fed. Separately, factory orders increased 1.6% month over month in March, including a pickup in new orders for durable and non-durable goods, demonstrating that demand for manufactured goods have not fallen markedly. For today's interview, I wanted to welcome to the show originator Josh Metal to talk about the massive changes that are coming in July with the buyer agent commission issue. This is the first of several interviews in a series where we're going to have giveaways for listeners at the end. Check out the link in the bio. And I'm very excited to present to you Josh. He's part of one of the top 1% of lending teams in the country, and his incredible knowledge of the industry and professionalism that should be on evidence to you during this interview. Additionally, I for one can't get enough commentary when it comes to the proposed NAR settlement and the changes and how it could impact the mortgage industry. I want to talk about the changing landscape in the mortgage industry, how to ride the wave of these changes and ultimately come out ahead. And the biggest one out there is obviously the NAR settlement related rule, which the changes will go into effect in July. I'm sure we could talk about this for hours, but how do you see it changing the industry from your perspective?
Well, as you know, the cooperative compensation, also known as the participation rule, has been around since the 90s. So we have a generation of realtors, specifically buyer's agents, who have really never had to formally express their value proposition because their services were de facto free because they were paid by the seller. And when your cost is free, your value doesn't have to be very high. And that's all changing. There will be a moment, depending on, you know, which MLS you are throughout the country, but somewhere over the next 90 days, where a buyer's agent for the first time in a very long time is going to have to sit down with a family, explain their value proposition and why they are worth their compensation. And then they're going to slide a piece of paper across the table and they're going to ask that family to sign a document that says that they're going to be on the hook, responsible for the compensation for that buyer's agent for whatever that compensation is, 2, 2.5, 3%. And I think where this is going to get a little tricky is that we're in a very low inventory environment still. You know, I'm out of Salt Lake City, Utah. We have 1.8 months supply of housing. The good neighborhoods, the best neighborhoods have a lot less than that. And I know, you know, I was just at a mortgage conference with Tim Brahim and the L360 family, and many of those originators are from the East Coast, and they have no inventory in some of those areas. So when we have a low inventory environment, sellers are likely going to be less inclined to be generous in the compensation they're going to contribute, less inclined to contribute towards contributions, towards closing costs, or what have you. So this, to me, becomes a little bit of a perfect storm when that family realizes we may not be able to get any concession from the seller. If we sign this document, we're on the hook for 2 or 3% compensation, and we have no idea what the, you know, we haven't even begun looking for homes because this compensation and buyer-broker agreement needs to be signed before the homes start to be sold. So that's going to create a very interesting moment where a buyer's going to have to decide, am I willing to pay, you know, the median home price in Salt Lake is about $600,000. So am I willing to pay $18,000 in representation fees for this buyer agent without the knowledge that the seller is going to contribute at all? So that's going to be a very interesting moment. And I believe that, you know, I believe that mortgage professionals can play an instrumental role, a very important role in helping those buyer's agents create that value proposition. And I'm even, in fact, this afternoon, I have a mastermind with a couple of high-performing local brokers, and we're going to be going through a mock presentation. What could it look like if the buyer's agent and the mortgage professional got together and they both gave a pre-purchase consultation, a value consultation as a united front versus a separated front? But I think those are some of the challenges that we're going to see. And I think it's going to also create some opportunities for those of us that are have the right mindset, you know, the obstacle is the way mindset, and those of us that are creative in how we overcome this challenge.
You know, let's talk opportunities. I think it's a great natural segue here. I'm all for more value add from agents, from originators, from everybody in the process. What potential solutions do you see for buyer agents who will now, as you alluded, will need to better explain their value proposition and kind of link that together with how mortgage professionals can help out there?
Well, look, I mean, I think the probable real estate future is overwhelmingly pointing to less dollars going through the system in terms of commissions. And so I believe that the number, as I recall, that the average licensed realtor closed 1.43 transactions in 2023. Not 1.43 transactions per month, 1.43 transactions for the year. So you already have a system that is fairly anemic as it relates to income per licensee. And now you're going to have a shock, in my opinion, that is going to reduce the amount of commissions flowing through that system. So the first opportunity is that there's probably going to be a lot less buyer's agents out there. You know, those that survive, similar to what mortgage professionals have gone through over the last couple of years. I mean, mortgage origination volume is still subdued, but many of the people that I just spoke to at the L360 mastermind that we had, their volumes were up significantly. So why is that? Well, it's because, depending on where you get your numbers, up to half of the loan originators are no longer in the industry anymore. And volume doesn't have to go up that much for business to start to come back to those market leaders. And I think the same thing will hold true in real estate. There'll be less commissions flowing through the system. It is going to wash out some of those folks that were just barely holding on. And that is going to create opportunity for those realtors who can really explain their value proposition. And look, I believe that this is the easiest market I've ever seen in my entire life to explain value. And the reason is because there's more problems in the real estate industry as it relates to the situation that buyers find themselves in. There's more obstacles and landmines than there ever has been before, right? I mean, most good homes have multiple offers, selling for above the asking price. One out of three homes is being sold to a cash buyer. Affordability issues, because we seem to be in a rising interest rate environment again as we go into this quarter. When you have a lot of problems like that, a creative mind, and especially the creative realtor and the creative mortgage professional putting their heads together, they can really create a compelling value proposition to explain how their services can help the buyer overcome those landmines. So that's where my mind goes. There's going to be opportunity with less competition, and there's opportunity because there's a lot of problems that the average buyer is facing right now.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say there's more mortgage industry professionals and originators that listen to this podcast than real estate agents. So let's focus on that side of the equation. Obviously, some of this NAR settlement it's still flowing through the legal system. There's people are unsure about exactly how it's going to impact things just yet. Yep. How can mortgage professionals in general kind of insulate their businesses from whatever disruption we're going to see?
That's a great question. There's two things that I am encouraging and trying to guide my production team to do, because as you allude to, you know, the DOJ has gotten back involved. We don't have final acceptance from the judges that are overlooking these settlements. And so there's a decent probability that there's a curveball ahead that we can't predict yet. But I do believe, regardless of those potential surprises that are forthcoming, there are two things that we can do to position ourselves as well as humanly possible based on the information we have at this time. Number one, we can embrace our buyer's agents and help them think through what does their business look like on July 1st. In the Utah MLS, they're adopting these rules as of the 1st of July. So what does that look like? The day that you can no longer get a phone call from a past client, throw them in your car, and whip around the corner and show them a home without having them sign a buyer agent agreement and compensation document, what does that look like and what do you say? So to the extent that we can help our realtor partners think into the future and then role play with us, you know, we have been in the mortgage industry since 2010, really. I'm thinking, you know, since like Dodd-Frank, we have essentially had to explain and disclose our fees and tell a consumer why we are that valuable. We've got a 14-year head start on buyer's agents. And I think a lot of mortgage professionals have gotten really dang good at it. You know, a lot of mortgage professionals have been able to change their mortgage practice to where they just don't sell the lowest rate. They're selling the highest value and the highest probability of success if you work with me. The least chance that you're going to step into a landmine or not be successful on your home buying journey. So I think that we can really help our buyer's agents because we've accumulated that knowledge and experience. And now we can share that with our buyer's agents to build their value proposition. And I will tell you, I haven't met a realtor yet on the buy side that is great at explaining their value proposition and is 100% comfortable with sliding a document across the table that says, once you sign this document, you're on the hook to pay me 3%. I haven't found one yet that has their script nailed. So there's a lot of opportunity for us. The other place that I think there's significant opportunity for mortgage professionals is in gaining relationships, influence, and earning referrals from listing agents. Look, I think that there is a capital flow change that is going to occur once these rules go into effect. And what I mean by that is, if you think about how the dollars in the real estate industry flowed, it went from a seller who in many instances had 50% equity in their home, was staring at a massive payday, and they were going to move money from the seller to the listing broker. The listing broker then had a cooperative compensation agreement with the buyer's broker, and that fee showed up on the seller's settlement statement, not the buyer's settlement statement. Now we're in a new era, and I say it's a capital flow disruption because the money is going to go from the seller to the listing brokerage, and then as a concession, it's going to flow from the seller, if the seller is going to give a concession, it's going to show to the buyer. And now that credit, that concession is going to show on the buyer's settlement statement, and then the buyer's agent fee is going to show on the settlement statement. So now, because the buyer is the receiver of the money, they're also going to be thinking about how they want to spend that money a lot differently. Do I want to spend that 3% or 2% concession or 1% concession on buyer representation? Or do I want to do a 2-1 buy down? Do I want to buy out my mortgage insurance? Do I want to permanently reduce my interest rate on my mortgage? A buyer has a lot more decisions to make. And if you layer on top of that, the massive amount of negative headlines from the Main Street media, you know, this is a boon for sellers and buyers. Say bye-bye to commissions. All of the things that the buyers are hearing out there, this is, you know, real estate prices are going to come down. A lot of this stuff is not true, but it's catching the attention of the buyers, and it's going to make them aware that they now have agency over making this decision where that money is going. So if I think through the impact of that over a long enough time horizon, I have to believe that more buyers are going to make the decision that they're either going to self-represent or they're going to pay an a la carte service, perhaps a paralegal service or a realtor service or an attorney service that, you know, for $500 will write up an offer for them. And I believe more leads will flow through to the listing agent. So what I've been working with my team is, look, how do we find the listing agents that are doing business so that we don't waste our time on people who aren't doing business? How do we identify their problems? What are the challenges they're going to face? How do we help them solve those problems? And then how do we earn referrals from those listing agents? And I think that that is it's a bit of a blue ocean strategy. And it's a place that we're spending a lot of time and energy trying to figure out how do we become more valuable to those listing agents.
Well, as you said, it seems like buyers certainly have a lot more choice and options in this process. I don't know if that necessarily means that they're winning here, coming out ahead. Maybe it does. I mean, do you think that there are winners and losers here? Can everybody be winners? Are they likely to tip are the scales likely to tip in one direction or another for different parties? How do you view it?
Yeah, I think unfortunately, the less sophisticated and lower income buyers struggle the most. They lose the most here because we already know that those lower price points are usually the markets that have the lowest amount of inventory. So there's the most amount of competition, the most amount of bid over ask. Now those same folks that are potentially first-time homebuyers aren't moving a bunch of cash from a move-up transaction. In addition to having that low inventory environment and potentially bidding over ask price, now they've got another closing cost essentially, which is how do they cover their buyer agency fees? And yeah, those oftentimes are the same buyers that are less sophisticated. You know, once you bought a home three times, if you run three businesses and you're used to contracts and dealing with attorneys, it's not insanely difficult to fill the role of writing out your purchase agreement and negotiating with a listing agent. But if this is your first rodeo and you work at a call center and you have very limited liquidity, those folks are going to lose in this new arrangement. Of course, there'll be innovation, there'll be solutions, but out the gate, I see those folks as suffering the most. the people that are winning the most on this, I think, are the buyers that are sophisticated, that now know, hey, I've got an extra percent or two in concessions and I can use that to buy down my rate rather than pay a buyer's agency if I feel I'm educated and equipped to do so. I also think that the top tier, you know, it used to be, I think, you know, as I would run numbers in our company, you know, 20% of the originators would do 80% of the volume. I'm noticing that is getting more like 10% of the originators are doing 90% of the volume. And I think that same thing will hold true. This will kind of exacerbate that because it's another challenge. The top originators, the top real estate professionals will innovate. They'll find solutions. They'll look at this as the obstacle is the way, and they'll expand their market share. So I think those people that are innovators, critical thinkers, really thinking through what does it look like come July, they will continue to expand their market share. And, you know, we could get into a real estate and mortgage industry where 5% does 90% of the business or something like that.
I do like that phrase that you've thrown out a couple of times. The obstacle is the way. And I think embracing that could be the key to future success. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you today, and obviously you're the division president at Neo Home Loans, but you also do work with Loan Atlas. Let's talk about Loan Atlas for a second. Can you give people a quick overview of what it is and what it's doing to help lead this community through these changes that we've talked about today?
Yeah, Tim Brahim and a faculty of 17 other mortgage professionals from across the country created Loan Atlas with the construct in mind or the idea in mind that we wanted to create the MBA for the mortgage industry. And Tim had a master plan on how you do that. You know, he's brilliant in terms of his strategic and very thoughtful planning. He did that in his mortgage practice. He did that when he created Loan Toolbox. He's done that in Performance Experts, which is the L360 group that I'm a member of, and I'm coached by Tim. And he's done that again in Loan Atlas. And basically what he's done is he said, look, there's really eight disciplines to mortgage origination mastery. And, you know, it starts with essential knowledge at the bottom. You have to know the difference between a HELOC, an ARM, a first loan, a second loan, a DPA, a non-qualified mortgage. Like we have to understand the fundamentals. Now, most of us listening to your podcast have that foundational knowledge. But as we scale our businesses, the people we hire may not, and we may want to take a shortcut and not have to teach them all that essential knowledge. And then from there, it works its way up, right? There has to be a system for selling. There has to be, as Tim has coined, the perfect loan process. What's your replicatable process so that people come back to you? And so on and so forth, up the eight disciplines. And as you make your way to the peak, the summit of the mountain, if you will, is legacy and freedom. And at the end of the day, once you've been in the business for 20 or 30 years and you've built this incredible practice, like, what's next? How do you sail off into the sunset? Can you monetize that business and that pipeline of past clients in a way to serve you into retirement? And so the idea of Loan Atlas is let's get together the finest and most giving faculty in the mortgage industry. They've solved all the problems, right? There's a collective, I believe the collective origination production from this group is over $29 billion in production. There's not a problem they haven't solved in their business. So let's get them to very methodically teach the things that they are the absolute best on. Let's guide people up the mountain of the eight disciplines of mortgage mastery. And let's take this upper top tier of mortgage originators and help fast forward their journey to success. So it's a heck of a lot of fun. I mean, what's really cool, Robbie, is I am learning more from the other faculty members than I have learned in a very long time. So it's fun for me because not only do I get a share, but I'm learning a tremendous amount as well.
And before I let you go today, it sounds like, and I know you said you're off to do a joint presentation type thing here or go through what that would look like. We have a giveaway, and I think it has to do with kind of a PowerPoint presentation. Can you tell listeners a little more?
Yeah, I put together a step by step checklist, if you will, of how I am coaching my team to find listing agents, to identify their problems, to reach out to them in a way that is very compelling and interesting, and ultimately how to earn referrals from listing agents. And, you know, one of the modules that I created, I was really lucky that my best friend is a real estate broker. He's been a broker at Sotheby's. He's been a broker at Berkshire Hathaway. Now he owns his own smaller boutique real estate firm. And we've been talking about this for 18 months. So about a year ago, I started working on this listing agent strategy with my team. And eventually we've made that into a module inside of the Loan Atlas. And the download that you're referring to is essentially the step-by-step implementation guide of how someone could take the strategy that I created there and go implement it in their market.
Very well put. Josh, this was a great conversation, man. You're obviously very well spoken, and I appreciate all the knowledge that you've shared with my listeners today. So thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Hope you'll have me back, and I hope it was valuable to everybody who took the time to listen into us today.
The April employment report led off today's calendar, with private payrolls increasing 175,000 versus expectations of increasing 190,000 and 232,000 previously. The unemployment rate came in at 3.9% versus expectations of 3.8%, and average hourly earnings were lighter than expected at 0.2% versus expectations of increasing 0.3% month over month. Later today brings S&P Global Services PMI, ISM non-manufacturing PMI for April, and the resumption of Fed speak from New York's Williams and Chicago's Goolsbee. After the employment data, we begin the day with agency MBS prices better by roughly a half from Thursday's close. The 10-year yielding 4.46 after closing yesterday at 4.57%, and the 2-year at 4.73%. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. I've been experimenting with breeding racing deer. People have accused me of just trying to make a fast buck. Thanks again to this week's podcast sponsor, Essex Mortgage. Essex specializes in providing exceptional mortgage subservicing solutions tailored to meet your specific needs.
If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.